Hello, welcome to another episode. This week we will be talking about, well, as you can probably see, ancient Greece. Yeah, I feel like it's going to be an interesting one. Should learn a bit, and I'll try not to creak my chair too much. Let's begin. Ancient Greece. Ancient Greece was a large area in the northeast of the Mediterranean Sea, where people spoke the Greek language. It was much bigger than the nation of Greece we know today. It was the civilization of Greece from the archaic period of the 8th, 6th centuries BC to 146 BC. The period ended with the Roman conquest of Greece in the Battle of Corinth. For most of its time, the Greeks did not have a single government or ruler. There were a number of city-states, each with its own constitution. Athens, Sparta, and Corinth are examples of city-states. Some had kings, and some, like Athens, had a form of democracy. As time went on, the most powerful cities collected other cities into groups known as leagues. This applied to many of the Greek colonies in Asia Minor, most of which had close ties to one or another of the large three cities. In the middle of this period, there was classical Greece, which flourished during the 5th to 4th centuries BC. Athenian leadership successfully repelled the threat of Persian invasion in the Greco-Persian Wars. The Athenian Golden Age ends with the defeat of Athens at the hands of Sparta in the Peloponnesian War in 404 BC. In the last Hellenistic period, Greece was unified by the conquests of Alexander the Great. The city-states continued under the overall influence of Macedonia. Greek culture had a powerful influence on the Roman Empire, which carried a version of it to many parts of the Mediterranean region and Europe. In this way, classical Greece was part of a foundation of Western civilization. Greek was also the language and partly the culture of the Byzantine Empire. And there's a nice picture of the Parthenon, which is crazy. I would love to know how they built that. It's a symbol of the culture and sophistication of the ancient Greeks. It certainly is. Timeline of Greek history. The history of Greece went through these stages. Mycenaean culture. 1600 to 1100 BC was an early Greek culture during the Bronze Age on the Greek mainland and on Crete. The Bronze Age collapse, or Greek Dark Ages, which was 1100 to 750 BC, the Archaic period, 750 to 500 BC, artists made larger freestanding sculptures in stiff poses with the dreamlike archaic smile. The Archaic period ends with the overthrow of the last tyrant of Athens in 510 BC. I'm sorry, but I've got to just Google archaic smile to see what they're talking about there. Please bear with me for 1 minute. Oh god, okay, I've sort of seen this before. It's quite a quite a funny looking smile. You might want to Google that, archaic smile, sort of like a dumb looking kind of smile. Anyway, where were we? The classical period, 500 to 323 BC. Had a style which was considered by later observers to be an outstanding example, i.e. classical, for instance, the Parthenon. Politically, the classical period was dominated by Athens and the Delian League during the 5th century. They were displaced by Spartan hegemony during the early 4th century BC. Finally, there was the League of Corinth, which was led by Macedon? Okay, I think Macedon is very similar to Macedonia. The Hellenistic period, 323 to 146 BC, is when Greek culture, brackets Hellenistic art, and power expanded into the Near and Middle East. This period begins with the death of Alexander and ends with the Roman conquest. Roman Greece. This is the period between the Roman victory of the Battle of Corinth in 146 BC and the establishment of Byzantium by Constantine as the capital of the Roman Empire in 330 AD. The final phase of antiquity in this period... The final phase... Third time's the charm. The final phase of antiquity is the period of Christianization during the 4th to early 6th centuries. It ended with the closure of the later version of Plato's Academy by Justinian I in 529 AD. Early history. In the 8th century BC, the Greeks learned how to read and write a second time. They had lost literacy at the end of the Mycenaean culture as the Mediterranean world fell into the Dark Ages. The Greek Dark Ages, 1100 BC to 750 BC, or Bronze Age collapse, is a period in the history of ancient Greece and Anatolia from which there is no written records and few archaeological remains. The Greeks learned about the alphabet from another ancient people, the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians? I've never heard of them. Phoenicia was a civilization to the north of Canaan. Okay, alright, I don't understand any of those words. They made some adjustments to it. In particular, the Greeks introduced regular letters for vowels, which was necessary for their language. Their alphabet was, in turn, copied by the Romans, and much of the world now uses the Roman alphabet. Political structure. Ancient Greece had one language and culture, but was not unified until 337 BC, when Macedonia defeated Athens and Thebes. That marked the end of the Classic period and the start of the Hellenistic period. Even then, the conquered cities were merely joined to Philip II of Macedon's Corinthian League. They were not occupied and ruled themselves. City-states. Ancient Greece consisted of several hundred more or less independent city-states. This was different from other societies, which were tribal or kingdoms ruling over relatively large territories. Undoubtedly, the geography of Greece, divided and subdivided by hills, mountains, and rivers, contributed to the nature of ancient Greece. On the one hand, the ancient Greeks had no doubt that they were one people. They had the same religion, same basic culture, and same language. Yet each city-state or polis was independent. Unification was something rarely discussed by the ancient Greeks. even when, during the second Persian invasion of Greece, a group of city-states allied themselves to defend Greece, most poleis remained neutral, and after the Persian defeat, the allies quickly returned to infighting. The major features of the ancient Greek political system were its fragmentary nature. There was not one country, but many little countries called city-states. 2. The focus on cities in tiny states. 3. Let that go past. My apologies. 3. The colonies that set up round the Mediterranean were independent of the founding city. However, they were sympathetic to their mother city. 4. Conquest or direct rule by another city-state was quite rare. 5. The cities grouped themselves into leagues, and members sometimes quit one league and joined another. Later, in the classical period, the leagues were fewer and larger, and dominated by one city, particularly Athens, Sparta, and Thebes. Often cities would be compelled to join under threat of war, or as part of a peace treaty. After Philip II of Macedon conquered the heartlands of ancient Greece, he did not attempt to annex the territory or unify it into a new province. However, he did force most of the cities to join his own Corinthian League. Kingdoms. Some cities were democratic, some were aristocratic, and some were monarchies. Some had many revolutions in which one kind of government replaced another. One famous Greek kingdom is Macedon, which became briefly the largest empire the world had seen at that time by conquering the Persian Empire, including ancient Egypt, and reaching into modern-day India. Other famous kings are Epirus and Thessaly. Monarchies in ancient Greece were not absolute because there was usually a council of older citizens, brackets the Senate, or in Macedonia, the Congress, in brackets, who gave advice to the king. These men were not elected or chosen in a lottery like they were in the democratic city-states. Citizens. Citizens that could participate in government in ancient Greece were usually men who were freeborn in that city. Women, slaves, and usually residents born elsewhere, did not have the right to vote. Details differed between cities. Athens is an example. The residents of Athens were of three groups: citizens, metics, brackets resident aliens, and brackets, and slaves. Citizens were residents whose forebears had been Athenians for three generations. Male citizens had the rights of free men and could be chosen to fulfill any official state position. Of the estimated 150,000 residents of the city-state of Attica, only about one-fifth held the privilege of citizenship. Women who were citizens in Athens could not participate in political offices, but in Sparta they could. Colonies. The number of Greeks grew, and soon they could not grow enough food for all the people. When this happened, a city would send people off to start a new city known as a colony. Because the terrain was rough, most travel was by sea. For this reason, many new cities were established along the coastline. First, new cities were started in Anatolia, brackets Asia Minor, and later along the Black Sea, in Cyprus, in southern Italy, in Sicily, and around what today is Benghazi in Libya. They even started a city Naucrates on the River Nile in Egypt. The cities of today, Syracuse, Naples, Marseille, and Istanbul, started as the Greek cities Syracusa, Nepolis, Massilia, and Byzantium. Oh, that's cool. Did not know that. The Big Four. By the 6th century BC, some cities became much more important than the others. These were Corinth, Thebes, Sparta, and Athens. The Spartans were very well-disciplined soldiers. They defeated the people who lived near them, and those people had to farm the land for the Spartans. These helots had to give the Spartans part of their food they grew, and so the Spartans did not have to work. Instead, they learned how to be better soldiers. There were not many Spartans, but there were many helots. Spartan military strength controlled the helots. The Spartans had two hereditary kings who led them in war. At home, they were also ruled by a group of old men called the Gerousia. Athens became a democracy in 510 BC. The men came to a place in the center of the city and decided what to do. It was the first place in the world where the people decided what their country should do. They would talk and then vote on what to do at the boule, brackets parliament. But the women did not vote. Athens had slaves. These slaves were owned by their masters and could be sold to someone else. The Athenian slaves were less free than the Spartan helots. Every year, Athenian citizens elected 8 generals who led them in war. Greco-Persian Wars. In 499 BC, the Greek cities in Anatolia rebelled. They did not want Persia to rule them anymore. Athens sent 20 ships to fight the Persians on the sea. The Greeks in Anatolia were defeated. The Persian king, Darius, decided to punish Athens. He sent soldiers and ships to fight Athens. Athens asked for help from Sparta. Sparta wanted to help, but could not. They had a religious festival at the time. Athens sent her soldiers against the Persian soldiers at the Battle of Marathon, 490 BC. They defeated the Persians. Then the help from Sparta came. At the Battle of Thermopylae, the Spartans were led by Leonidas, and resisted the huge Persian army. After a couple of days, a traitor called Ephialtes led the Persians around the pass behind the Greek army. Realizing the defeat was inevitable, Leonidas released many of his men. Those who stayed knew it would be a fight to the death. Leonidas kept elite hoplites, in brackets, foot soldiers, who had living sons at home. They were also allied Thespians and Thebans who volunteered to stay. On the third day, Leonidas led his 300 Spartan hoplites and their allies against Xerxes and his mighty army. The Spartan-led forces fought this Persian force to their deaths in order to block the pass long enough to keep Xerxes and his army occupied while the rest of the Greek army escaped. After Thermopylae, many Greeks wanted to go south to the Peloponnese. Because the Isthmus of Corinth, the way into the Peloponnese is very narrow, many wanted to fight the Persians there. Athens was north of Corinth, and she had a navy. Athens leader Themistocles, wanted to fight the Persians by the island of Salamis. Xerxes decided to send his fleet against the Greek fleet before the Greek ships could go to the Peloponnese. the Greek fleet defeated the Persians at the Battle of Salamis. Xerxes then went home with many of his soldiers, but a Persian army stayed in Greece. This army was defeated at the Battle of Plataea in 479 BC. Okay, so that's basically the plot of the film, what, 300? I didn't realise it was so closely tied to actual fights and stuff. I assumed it was just something that made a good story, but that seems to pretty much follow it beat for beat. Maybe this was written after 300 and they just made it sound more like the film, or maybe the film just was like the reality. Who knows? Athens against Sparta. After the Persians were defeated at Plataea, the Spartans did very little. However, Persia was still dangerous. Athens asked the Greek cities on the islands in the Aegean and in Anatolia to join her. These cities agreed because they were afraid of Persia. These cities formed the Delian League and Athens was their leader. Many of the cities of the Delian League had to pay Athens tribute money. Athens used the money to build many ships and the Parthenon. Sparta was still strong on land, but Athens was stronger on the sea. Several times there was war between Athens and Sparta. Then Athens decided to send many ships to Sicily to fight against the Syracuse. Sparta sent help to Syracuse, and Athens was defeated. None of the Athenian ships came back. Ooh. Now Sparta wanted to build ships to fight Athens. It took a long time for Sparta to defeat Athens, but then at the Battle of Aegospotami, the Spartans destroyed most of Athens' ships. The Athenians used a highly advanced type of ship known as triremes. These highly advanced battlecraft had sophisticated combat systems and were propelled by oarsmen. On the front of the trireme was a large bronze ram. The oarsmen would row the trireme at an enemy boat very fast and ram a hole in its hull. This was the most effective way for the trireme to destroy other boats. Sometimes the soldiers, called hoplites, on the trireme would board the enemy ship and keep it for their own. Nevertheless, the Athenian fleet of triremes was destroyed in a battle in 405 BC. Athens surrendered the following year and the war was over. Daily life. Men, if not working, fighting, or discussing politics, could, at festival times, go to ancient Greek theatre to watch dramas, comedies, or tragedies. These often involved politics and the gods of Greek mythology. Women were not allowed to perform in the theatre. Male actors played female roles. Women did domestic work, such as spinning, weaving, cleaning, and cooking. They were not involved in public life or politics. Women from rich families, however, had slaves to carry out domestic work for them. Ancient Greek games. The famous Olympic Games were held at Olympia every 4 years. They were for men only, and women were not allowed to attend, even as spectators. The sports included running, javelin throwing, discus throwing, and wrestling. The games were unusual because the athletes could come from any Greek city. Another competition, the Heraean Games, was held for women. Ah, I didn't know that. It was also held at Olympus at a different time from the men's event. Ah, that's cool. I didn't realise that. The Heraean Games. The rules for girls in Sparta were different from other cities. They were trained in the same events as boys because Spartans believed that strong women could produce strong babies who would become future warriors. Their girl athletes were unmarried and competed nude or wearing short dresses. Boys were allowed to watch the athletes in the hopes of creating marriages and offspring. Later, in the classical period, girls could compete in the same festivals as males. And that's it. So yeah, that's quite an interesting one. Learned a lot about ancient Greece. And I hope you did too. I have nothing more to say about ancient Greece. Thanks very much for listening. Thank you to the writers on Wikipedia for this article and all other articles. You're fantastic. And thank you very much for listening again. Have a lovely day and goodbye.